We watched Breaking Bad last night.
Have
you
Oh
seen
my
it?
God, no spoilers. No, we haven't watched it yet. We T-voted it.
We just finished the first season.
That is the best television I've ever seen. The way they do it, and Gus.
No, we haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert. Stop. What?
That's not a giveaway.
We'll talk about it behind your
season
back.
Season one, first of all, you're like, what kind of a show is it? Season two?
Stop.
Hold on a second. I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying, wasn't it cool the way it went down?
So are you guys watching Game of Thrones?
Who isn't?
So who's king? Is it Joffrey?
It just started.
So good.
Are you guys watching Mad Men?
Yeah,
season?
Nope.
Stop. Don with Megan or Ben.
I had no idea.
Did you guys see him in the new season of Dexter?
Michael C. Hall in the van?
Spoiler alert.
Don't spoil it.
True Blood.
Change subject.
So you've seen when Tara turns into
change
a vampire.
Change subject. Mm-mm.
Okay, what about Downton Abbey?
The Christmas special was wonderful.
Oh, shut up. Homeland. Stop
so
it.
So Sergeant Brody and Claire Danes hooked up
stop
yet?
Stop it.
Mm-mm.
Okay, what's something we've all
okay,
seen?
Okay, 6 feet under. We can all talk about
not
that. Michael C. Hall in the van?
Spoiler
the
alert.
Body's in the
now
box?
I don't even have to watch
Kevin Spacey
it.
Kaiser Sose.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just kill off Dumbledore.
The character will die eventually, like Christopher on The Sopranos.
Ah,
he's dead. That's not a spoiler.
I only watched the first episode.
Did you guys see Sixth Sense?
He's dead.
Shut up. Seinfeld.
Nothing past season
Golden
two.
Girls.
Nothing past season
Meets
five.
World.
Nothing past season eight.
Is that before or after Corey marries Topanga?
You're not pissing me off.
Ah.
This is in Wire, right?
I've only watched the first three episodes.
Welcome to episode 25 of Enter the Crucible. I am Mayhew, one of your co-hosts, and today I am joined by
Clint,
Jeff,
Carter,
and Ian.
And today we're going to talk about Lock and Load.
As oh my God.
What? As we are recording right now, Lock and Load is still going on. When we post this, it's obviously going to be over, but we decided to, we had a bevy of spoilers drop recently, and we wanted to talk about them because why not?
Did you really just use the word bevy?
Yeah, well,
I no, that works.
It's, I'm just,
work. It's just no, it's right. It's just surprising coming out of his mouth.
Yes. Can you spell it?
No.
Okay.
It's pretty easy, baby. Come on, man. It's four letters.
It's what you think it would be.
Does it actually have a Y at the end of it?
It does.
It does.
That was part of the fuck that would be over. It's like B-E-V-E-U.
So right, we're
anyway.
What?
Sorry, back on track.
I'm guessing we're like a minute 15 in before we got the first F-bomb. Is that
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that about
good
where
work.
We are?
Good
okay,
work.
Cool.
Well, the bevy of spoilers came to us, what?
Cro-Mac.
Thursday night. Yeah, just all of a sudden the PG Invitational was open, and they had Reckoning as a pre-release. The PGs evidently had first go at it, and a whole bunch of images started popping online. I tried to consolidate all the images on our Facebook group, the Enter the Crucible Facebook. Most of them came from Trevor Christensen from Chain Attack, but there was also some other posters that posted things as well. Before we get into the spoilers, we can get into Saturday, June 6th.
Which was Lock and Load Light.
Which was Lock and Load Light.
Yep.
I ran a small Lock and Load celebration event / outpost / excuse for people to come in into a game shop and play War Machine for a while.
And it was Clint's birthday.
So and it was Clint's too. Birthday.
It was indeed. And I was actually quite impressed
birthday,
with the whole shindig. You did a pretty good job putting it together.
We had 35 players, and we ran 11 separate tournaments in the Scramblers format. Were some prizes. I've been posting what we were doing, and we also recorded 5 or 6 games over the course of that day that we will be posting. Probably want to post this podcast at the same time. They're already on YouTube. I just need to finish processing them.
Yeah, there's a terrible one on there for me.
Yeah. Live and learn. Live and learn.
Live and learn.
But
the
nice thing about this event was that we allowed players to proxy any model that was recently spoiled. As long as they had full stats for it and we had it way ahead of time, we just didn't know exactly all that was going to be. I had a suspicion it was going to be the whole of the Reckoning book, but we had no idea casters or anything like that. But we were actually able to see some of these new items in-game, even though it's like people's first impressions, first thoughts on them, but we were seeing a lot of these new things being played on the table.
I think we had every caster represent, every spoiled caster represented.
Yeah, we had every spoiled caster was represented, and we had a certificate for first win with new spoiled caster. I had a certificate for Zaltu.
Aww.
And that went to the one Scorn player that showed up, but still, I gave it to him because I'm like, it hurts me as much as it hurts you that there's no Zol in spoiled today. So, before we leave the event, anybody had any thoughts or anything on that event?
I thought it was fun. You did a good job. I mean, it was a scrambler-a-thon, so all you were doing was running scramblers all day. I think you ran, what, 12 tournaments in total?
Yeah.
In one day? That's pretty impressive.
So. Towards the end, they were small four-man events, but...
Yeah, I mean, still. But it's still formal, organized play, and you're giving, like, best in faction points. So we gave away best in faction prizes, and it was a lot of fun. I'd like to do that again for another release.
And a couple people here actually were able to play with some of the new stuff. And
get yeah, your... I mean, I put Barathrum or Barathrum. I don't even know how to say his name. It's weird spelling. It's the Soul Trapper.
Barathrum.
Barathrum.
Yeah, I'm
Barathrum.
Guessing.
That sounds good. For henceforth, it'll be Barathrum.
Robert Barathrum?
Yes.
Robert Barathrum. Honestly, that was exactly what I thought when I thought. I was like, oh, we're going all Iron Kingdoms up
okay,
in here.
Okay, so Robert, I put Robert on the table. With,
yes, we are going Iron Kingdoms because we're playing.
Oh, wait. Westeros. Game
I get
of Thrones.
Those two mixed up. It's like Iron Kingdoms and Iron Throne.
Throne
so
yeah,
it,
yeah.
It always messes me up.
Iron something or other.
Iron Maiden.
Put not Dhaenyra 1 on the table, which is what Dhaenyra 3 feels like after a couple games with her. And
we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Is she in here? Did we despoil her?
Yeah, she's in the comments because I for some reason didn't.
The Soul Trapper.
Upload.
Oh, okay.
And good. Soul Trapper and Barathrum actually had good runs.
Well, let's get into list. We're just going to go down the line in no particular order.
Yes, the order is whatever got posted.
Yeah, the order is
Facebook.
What got posted in that order.
The thing is, like,
so we can just
the order
through.
I posted it and the order that it's in is reversed because of how Facebook works.
Okay, so opposite reversed order of what we did.
People
okay.
are riveted by this conversation.
So Ferks is Mercs. Mercs is first.
If we're missing anything, I'm going to apologize beforehand. That's just, I'm just going to throw it out there. But I think we got everything. So Mercs is, what's the full name of the caster? Siphon?
Cognifex Siphon.
Cognifex Siphon. Which is funny, as aside for the event on Saturday, I accidentally forgot to print a certificate for Cognifex Siphon. And Carter's like, nobody's going to be playing that.
Yeah.
First game on the stream was Cognifex Siphon.
Because nobody in our meta has played Suffolix at all. So
yeah.
I was surprised when somebody from like Tampa showed up.
I think so. His name was Kurt. Kurt was his name.
I don't know.
Yeah, speaking of that, I mean, you said we had 35 people do this and it ran all day, but we had people come in from Jacksonville, from Tampa.
Somebody from Miami, a couple from Miami. A
couple from Miami. We pretty much ran, you know.
Were they a couple from Miami?
McDermott's from where? St. Pete?
St. Pete, yeah.
St. Pete.
Yes.
We had people from
Tampa.
All over. Yeah, we had people from all over the place, which is really cool to see.
Well, he's a couple with Brandon Andrews. They didn't show up.
Yeah, I heard they're going through a rough patch.
Yeah, they are.
He has a girl on the side, Brandon, I hear.
Well, you know, it's rough to see. It's rough
anyway,
see.
The list.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
If you start breaking down into song, I'm going to punch you.
So the only person here who has, like, strong Cephalic experience is Carter. And
do I?
Well.
I've played Body and Soul. I don't know.
Strongest. You've actually put Exelon Thexis on the table.
I was actually just happy to see Suffolix contract get another Warcaster.
Yeah, it's about
so
time.
They can actually play full Suffolix in a Steamroller. And I actually thought Siphon had an awesome spell list, a really good feat, survivability.
Seems like they're throwing out Onslaught like it's candy.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, he's got a spell that I absolutely hate in Breathstealer. I don't know how Affliction really works in Cephalic so much because they don't have like a high volume of range attacks, which is where Affliction really comes into play.
Not outside of any Merc unit they might take with them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could take Nyss Hunters with the. I mean, they always have that option, so yeah. There you go. Gallows.
You're throwing sprays out with all your. With all your thingies.
I mean, that's true.
That's
not too bad, especially with a lot of power 12s and stuff. Maybe if you're going into, like, shield wall Iron Fangs or
yeah,
something like
that's
that.
Really skewing armor hard on, like, single wound infantry.
Yeah, like Peace Guard Bane Knights or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, actually, yeah.
That might actually work.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that comment makes up for your potent comment from the fluff episode. So
yeah, well, that was my fault. I don't know how I missed that. I did. Mm-hmm. I admit it. It was all me. It's all me.
He loses the arc node ability that Dexus had, but he gets a range amplifier, so that kind of makes up for it a bit. I'm still a little bit worried by his...
Range 15 Gallows?
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Pretty good.
He has to be the point of origin for it, which kind of sucks, but...
Still 15 inches?
And still like a power 13,
isn't it? It's pretty safe.
Was Lilith the only other person with Essence Amplifier? Or somebody else?
Power 13, yeah.
P. Kane. I think both Kanes have it, actually.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Because I know Lilith, that's one of the things that makes... I think it's Prime Lilith.
It makes her actually get Parasite off rather easily.
Be like, thwunk, look at that.
But it usually is... It doesn't really matter when it's... Because she has to hit with her bow for it to... She can't boost it.
So. And I think his nuke spell is actually really good. Emphatic Overload. Considering it's an AoE 4, this is power 12. To everybody in the AoE, it only costs 3, and it auto-hits your own guys. So you run a Drudge in the middle of something, and then auto-hit it in a really tasty spot.
And it's not blast damage. Wow, I didn't see that. A lot of those abilities, nice. Too.
So yeah, and his feat helps out the monstrosities. I'm not sure his spell list supports the monstrosities so much, other than... obviously Onslaught and Gallows.
Onslaught, yeah.
For the Threat Extension and the Pathfinder. But...
You could conceivably put Perseverance on a monstrosity if you're trying to hold something.
That's true, and if you stack it with the feet, too.
Yeah, they actually become plus somewhat five survivable.
Arm. Yeah, somewhat. I mean Armor 22 is
pretty
good.
Armor 22 with all the damage boxes is
okay. The thing
is,
you're Armor 22 after stacking a feat and a spell, so you're still not breaking the bank. But
no.
That is a long freaking threat range for a...
Like a Wrecker with reach?
Yeah, plus 3 speed, plus Gallows...
Yeah, I mean, they're going across the board, and you're also getting the... if you get the Agitator in there, it's plus 5 strength, so he's all about stacking buffs. So I think he's a great add to the Cephalix. I'm honestly super tempted to play them, because...
His gun's not terrible either.
Now you can go all in on Cephalix.
He just seems pretty versatile, honestly. It seems like you could do... Which I think is one of the things Privateer has done with their more recent casters, is... The caster doesn't come out, and it's just like, okay, here is the automatic list we're going with. This is what you're going to see every single time.
Well, that'll probably happen just because it's Cephalix, and there's five things they can
Well, make. Okay. But it looks like, just looking at him, ignoring the rest of the army, he looks like he gives you options.
It looks
you
like...
You could do different things.
Oh,
different
and also,
stuff.
Something to mention, his tier list is automatic.
Because of the
mind benders.
Mind benders, yeah.
A trillion mind benders.
Yeah, looking at his tier list, it was really good. The nice thing is with Siphon actually plays a different enough game than Texas that you could have two distinct different lists, kind of. You know, even though you have a very limited amount of models you can play with, far less limited than Convergence, but...
Well, I think if you both run them in tier, they're doing different enough stuff, and they're both competitive enough that you can actually make a run at things.
Yeah. No, that's solid.
So we got 28 other things to talk about.
Yes.
Woo!
So, the Siege Crawler, Clint, because I think you were the only one who actually, really read the rules for that.
I was not too impressed.
I love it.
It works for Kador,
I absolutely love it.
What
something
is it?
To look at.
I don't actually...
It's a battle engine.
The Dwarf Battle Engine.
So this is why I love it, okay? It's basically a 9-point upgrade to the Earthbreaker. So, Osram, put Snipe on the Earthbreaker, then... gives it 2 focus, and then the Earthbreaker gets tuned up for damage, and he knocks down 2 AoE 5s, knocks down all that stuff. Hopefully one thing there is a heavy, and then kills a bunch of infantry with his, or he could be boosted on if he's going for infantry, whatever. He kills a bunch of stuff, and then this thing throws a crap ton of damage into something that's knocked down under the AoEs that the Earthbreaker knocked down with Snipe. This thing has weapons platform, so it can, if I'm right, it can charge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it can
under his feet, 10 inches, and then shoot with Snipe 16 inches away, so it's got 26-inch threat range. If you can get the Earthbreaker to a caster and knock it down, this thing's going to kill that caster from downtown.
But it can't boost, so it's unplayable garbage.
Yeah, but if the dude's knocked down, you don't have to worry about it.
I think
or if the dude stays
Durgan true. Might be liking it.
Durgan will like it too. I think it's definitely playable.
Are we counting snipe and double powder rations?
No, I wasn't counting double powder rations.
Okay, so that's even more threat range.
And it's got three guns on it.
It's got a D3 plus one gun, and then two POW 15 AOE fours.
Yeah,
it's pretty darn good.
I don't know. As a Merc player, I'm not going like this is the battle engine we needed. Yeah,
it was the.
It's still cool.
Who does it work for?
He works for Signar and Kador.
I don't see Signar really hopping on it.
I mean, it's AOEs and Signar. Usually doesn't have access to too many of them, so
It's better than a gun carriage. So that's something to know.
And if we want to go really deep, it's girded, so it's going to protect some of your solos.
Yeah.
Bulldoze is always good.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I think it's solid.
It's interesting. It doesn't strike me as overtly powerful, but it might be one of those things where somebody finds a cool like combo. I mean, obviously,
it's no Sacra Vault, that's for sure.
Yeah,
has some really sweet stuff. If you can get stuff knocked down or minus defense, then this thing's gonna do some damage.
Do some damage.
All right, next we move on to
Horde.
The Horde stuff that was in there.
Croak Raiders. Oh yes.
Yes.
Croak Raiders are really good.
How many points are they? Because
they're 5/8.
Carter and I shared some sweet like texting off. We were texting off each other.
Yeah, it was. There's a lot of text.
Your man loving on Croak Raiders.
They're good.
Yes.
I haven't even seen the stats.
Well, thanks for coming to this podcast, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Oh, was I supposed to? I didn't know we were going to review every one of these.
You'll have things to talk about. We're talking
another riveting.
Yeah, Jeff thought this was the Minoth reveal podcast.
No, it's not true. There's other stuff that I read. Just not. Croak
we're
going to
put Minoth last just so for Jeff.
Here are the two ways I misread the Croak Raiders cards. The first one was I didn't realize that when you oiled something, it was just fire damage rolls.
Yep.
Yeah, you thought it was a fire continuous effect
roll? Yeah, fire continuous effect roll. I was like, oh, that seems okay. Like, no, they just have boosted power 12s and stuff. And the other one was like I didn't catch the immunity corrosion until later.
Oh, anytime you find something that's immune to biothrow purges, his pants get a little bit tighter.
Well, yeah, you look at the beginning of their card, and it's just like
hide this direction.
I mean, it's the exact same thing. Their weapon's a little different. Other than that, they're pretty much the same.
I've totally done something close to this, but there was a guy who was like, this unit is so totally busted on Facebook, of course. This unit is totally busted. There's no way you can give a 10-man unit black oil bombs.
Oh, yeah.
He read black oil in it, and I was like, oh, I've done that. I've put in the word that I want.
Oh, they read oil. I was like,
yeah.
It's 10 Gormans.
That was quickly.
The third thing that really impressed me was that the oil is an AOE.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty
yes,
cool,
it
too.
Is.
So
yeah.
You can scatter and miss. I mean, like, if your first guy hits and you connect, do you have any sort of armor debuff on your target? You're killing heavies. You're just dropping heavies. Like, a minus two armor, you're almost killing a Kator heavy. You're coming pretty darn close.
They fit in the Rosheth tier, so you can drop a living target by minus four armor and then oil it.
I mean, there's some drawbacks to the unit. Obviously, their defensive stats are pretty garbage. So, and
Calandra likes some defense 13.
Their ranges are pretty short. I mean, range 10 isn't all that great, and the first guy needs to be range 8. And so trying to get them all in the range of one target is going to bunch them up pretty good for, like, retaliation. So, like, Gun Mages and Nest Hunters and stuff will pick those guys off pretty quick. But I think just as far as Gators go, they were an awesome grab for them. I'm looking at, like, Barnabas now.
Yeah, Barnabas.
Barnabas actually struggles really hard with armor, and they're pretty good at killing infantry and armor.
And even Caliban, Parasite, is not terrible.
Yeah.
There's no hit buff. That's the point you made in the text, which totally makes sense. But
yeah, I mean, the Rat 6 is...
The Rat 6. And I think it's a cool just idea for the unit. It's like, these two guys are putting oil on everybody, and then the rest of the guys are setting them all on fire.
My favorite part, though, is they're 5/8, so they're cheap enough to give cheap souls to the
Sacra
Vault
and
the Shambler.
Yep.
Well, souls to the Sacra Vault.
Souls to the
Vault
bodies.
Yeah.
To the
oh, man, so much good loving.
So what are our thoughts about them in other factions, though? Because who do they work for?
I think, obviously, Legion is going to like them. You're given auto-boosted... I mean, maybe not. Cause
if there was additional
die, yeah,
that'd be a big difference.
I don't know. Scorn, like, Scorn really loves it.
If well, there boosted blast damage on the incendiary
is pretty damn awesome.
That is
really
awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. If they were what do you call it? If it was additional die, mm-hmm. I originally thought it was additional die. I read it that way, or just thought it that way. And fire eaters in them would be just ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that'd be bad.
I honestly think they work best for minions, which makes me happy.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't think about that. Incendiarii, that's a big deal.
Incendiarii was like the best out of Merc's minions combo I could think of because it turns those power sixes on a lot in certain situations.
It turns power 12s on.
And honestly, I was like, when I was thinking in Scorn, I'm like, I would just take a minimum unit. All they would be doing is just
now they are discussing
as much as possible.
They're trying to discuss whether or not they're discussing on the forums whether or not a maintenance phase fire roll or is it control phase?
It's maintenance phase.
Maintenance phase. It doesn't say specifically that it's a fire type damage. Now I think it's assumed that. So they're talking about it on the forums. I don't know if it's going to happen, but if so, that means that if they're on fire, they're going to take a boosted POW 12
in
the maintenance phase.
I have a new Rosheth dream, which is drop a living warcaster's armor by -4 and then setting them on fire and under oil.
Boosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'd be sweet. It'd be sweet.
So here's Scar. Dice plus one.
So they might change that. I don't know how they're going to, but rules-wise, I was seeing arguments for both sides, but hopefully it stays, and fire damage rolls are boosted.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
Well, yeah, it just depends on how they rule it. All right, so Cromac. What's the Cromac's full description name?
Cromac is champion of the worm.
So I haven't put too much thought into him. I saw one person playing him yesterday, but I didn't see, I wasn't super paying attention to those games. So as Circle player, kind of, and Circle player actual. What are your thoughts on Cromac?
Ooh,
that was a burn.
Not cool at all.
He was super different. I think he's like the freaking Circle Terminus, basically. So what just happened.
Yeah. I would agree. This is a guy who is going to be like, okay, a little bit of setup, a little bit of setup, and now I'm just walking right into the meat of your force and killing everything.
My first impression was that he's the kind of a warlock I kind of wanted Circle to have, which is the less tricks and more butchery aspect of just, I'm just going to be a bully. Like, I'm just a monster.
Because that's their theme. Like, total, just walk forward and kill you. That's how Circle rolls.
I like when they try.
Sounds like a Circle caster to me.
And I think it's a recurring theme here in all these new releases, but I do like when they actually go against
the poop on trolls. Reoccurring theme?
Yeah, it's
poop on trolls.
Oh, shut up.
No,
we
had a good book last year.
But when they like play against type with their casters, I actually really dig that. It really opens up something for the faction.
I think Cromac, I mean, I like this incarnation of Cromac. His spell list is super solid. His spell supports his army, does cool stuff for his army. So we can kind of hang out, cast a couple spells, cast Animus, sit on a Fury 2, do with Carnage.
I like the idea of Primal Howl.
And Primal Howl. Ooh,
with so many, with him causing terror, with Getaris causing terror, with don't the Tharn guys cause it as well?
Yes.
So, I mean, going with a big Tharn army that you can now boost their armor to 16, because that's kind of the problem that they've had.
Or the Skinwalkers.
Skinwalkers, yeah, cause terror. I know that.
Yeah. I think dropping living models -2 command and charges
his,
and stuff.
His
in
feat
there.
Only works on this battle group, not as the whole army.
Oh.
I thought the whole army get the auto hits.
The whole army gets the auto hit thing.
His battle group gets the...
Oh, okay. At least they get the armor buff.
Now, to be fair, it is when a living friendly faction model makes a charge attack...
Mm-hmm.
It's not just any attack, it's a charge attack.
It's the same thing as Striker 3. No. It's like it has to be specifically a
charge attack. Yes, you're right.
It has to be specifically a charge attack.
So, I think Carnage is a great spell.
So it'll drop against Behaley.
It's good for blood trackers, and you can buff them up to Matt Stupid anytime you're like, I'm taking the hitting part of this equation. The Primal Howl, amazing. -2 command, so forcing command checks, breaking your opponent's army.
Ooh, Primal Howl is command range, though.
Yeah.
Of his command 4.
That's terrible.
It? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he only had command 4. That's interesting.
Well, the thing is, he could charge in, do it, kill something, and sprint away in circle. So that's a possibility.
Well, he's a caster that's obviously designed to get in the shit. He's armor 18 base for a warlock, which is stupid, and goes to 20 on the feet turn. So if he clips two or three units with his command four range, forces one or two checks, you know, you wipe out half a unit, force another check, Getarex gets engaged, yeah. forces another check. Like, it's likelihood of you breaking. You're dropping command 8 to 6.
Yeah.
I'm happy that he can't throw it. He can't throw the axe.
I'm actually a little I'm actually really
Why would he ever want to let it go?
Because it'll come right back to him.
Well, that's the, well, the fluff was that
Madrak
threw the axe, and then Cro-Mac just caught it and ran. It's like the scene in
Hear you because you were not talking in your microphone.
It's like the scene in Winter Soldier where, like, Captain America throws his shield, and then Bucky catches it, and then he just
Spoilers.
Runs.
That is not...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't explain it.
The small demographic of people who listen to our podcast and hadn't seen Winter Soldier yet.
I got to... Tiny little story. I got to play in the online store during the Mad Rush. Mm-hmm. So to order Cro-Mac and one of the brutes, the brute babes.
Brute babe, yeah.
Brute thralls.
Brutey babe.
Femme fatale.
It's the femme fatale brute ball. Brute, thank you. Took 48 minutes.
You're lucky.
Yeah,
actually fortunate. Fortunate it only took 48 minutes. There were people who were like, it took me 2.5 hours, and it dropped my item from a cart, and I rage quit it.
I didn't have that. I got it ordered pretty easy.
FYI, pictures of his model shows that he's as big as Getarex.
He's just shorter.
He's apparently on a large base.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's
gonna be a big.
He's
big mamma jamba.
So Ian, are you gonna play?
He's
Cro-Mac 2 at GigaCon.
He's only 4 Warby's points, which is weird
GigaCon
for a.
Painted?
He's not allowed
to. No,
technically.
I think they're gonna come out with the 10th anniversary set. They did it with Butcher
with Butcher
because it was available online. They made it 100% legal when it was purchased.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, yeah, moving
tell
on.
Tell you what, if
twins.
I'm just saying, if Cro-Mac gets here. I mean, you should get your time. Where
did you get all the pictures for this?
Yeah.
You, like, go find them all?
I'll play Cro-Mac at GigaCon. Sure, why not?
Sure. It's awesome. I almost look forward to Listo doing that. Cro-Mac. Maybe we'll put it on a future matchup episode.
The Cro-Macs.
That'll never happen.
I'll go up there. All right. Steamroller.
Double Let's talk Cro-Mac. About stuff that hurts my head.
Twins, Basil.
Okay, so their feet is dumb.
Saving that all day.
And
oh, by the way, Saren.
What's the name of them?
Okay, Saren and Rias, Talons of Everblight.
It's a new Legion War.
She's Saren.
Locks?
She's Rias.
I thought it was interesting
Saren,
that they gave you.
Talons of Everblight.
That was interesting they gave you a Warlock and it's actually two full Warlocks.
Yeah, with different Fury stats and everything.
I don't understand how people can be like, oh, this is just bad. It's just bad.
Well,
like, right off the bat.
The trick. You got to explain the trick.
So basically, they can't attack each other, right? But their feat is they can swap places.
Yes.
So you can have the unit do a run charge order. Rias charges something. Saren runs next to the Warlock, and Rias has Rias can feat, trade places with Saren, and now Rias is right on top of the Warlock with a reach crit decapitation weapon.
It's like a 20-something inch nonlinear threat.
Yeah.
Of Rias is probably getting to your Warlock this game or Warcaster this game. You have to plan for getting around that.
So this was probably the
surviving
one
through it at least.
Warlock parentheses S that I saw the most yesterday, which was the twins. There was like 3 people that was doing nothing but playing the twins all day.
I got to play against one game and it was interesting. Like Mark for Death and Legion's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Why would you ever take anything but War Beasts in this list?
Mark for Death is a...
You have Shepherds and 12 Fury.
Mark for Death is a quality add to Legion in the fact that none of their infantry ignores stealth.
Yeah.
So you can pull... and also...
I don't care. It's infantry. Who cares? Their whole... The whole battle group.
But what about, like, Striders
every single,
and Strider Deathstalkers?
Everything
and,
has Isle of Sight.
No.
But
well,
not
the
only
is,
the
well,
battle group does.
Legion doesn't need 12 Fury to run an entire army of beasts.
I know. I'm just saying, there's nothing... Mark for Death is much better on a War Beast. At -2 defense, so it doesn't have to boost.
Mark for Death is much better for an infantry unit that can't boost naturally to make sure they hit, and it also is better for the 10
but
shots
why
infantry
take,
you're showing out than the one shot my angel.
But why
is
take them
out.
When you can take more beasts?
Okay, so we're being logical. One thing
I'm actually serious.
Quickly, before we go too far past it, the other thing about her feet is if you kill one of the warlocks, you can use your feet to bring the other one back.
Yeah.
Are we just going to read through the whole feet?
No, I mean, it's basically what is they switch places.
Saying,
basically
I know, we all...
Two options is they switch places. The other one is, oh, you killed Ryas. Saren's going to feet, and now Ryas is back.
But they can't, like, do anything when they come back.
It lets you kind of, like, play around with the idea of just, like, not no, necessarily
it just says cannot advance.
Ryas away.
Can advance. Oh, so...
But Ryas can...
But they come back
charge.
From Fury.
But yeah. The other thing is, like, if Ryas is dead, as an example, Saren can still charge someone, feet her back within 3 inches of her, small blip base, plus reach on Ryas, and still threat with it. With
yeah,
her,
sure. And she comes back with full Fury, and like you said, just
and can activate.
Advance.
That's the thing, is like, yeah. I didn't realize that they could activate when they came back.
No, their feet is amazing.
What most of the Legion players have been saying, it's basically like, you kind of get a crappy Saren with an amazing solo, combat solo.
Yeah, that hangs around. And you can be really aggressive with Ryas. I assume you're going to be aggressive with Ryas. You can be really aggressive with Ryas, and Saren's basically there to buff your army. I mean, she has Mark for Death is a quality spell. I think Ryas has Occultation. So you can play like a combined arms game with him. Of course, Zuriel in the Twins is just dumb. Like, Zuriel is awful, unless they rule it some other way. The only upside to them is that they're one war beast point.
The other thing is
downside.
Downside, yeah.
All of their rules, I'm sure, just make Pirate Captain happy. The fact that there's just walls of text on their cards.
I'm sure
he's just loving life.
I talked to him, he was very happy with the results of the Twins.
I think they're good. I think they're really good.
I have to tell a story about yesterday. So
just go look at the Legion forums, they're bad.
Chase is our
they're the big pile of crap.
Is
unplayable garbage, I believe, is the term.
Is the one Scorn player that came down that got all the Scorn prizes. So I was talking to Chase in his first game, and he's like, I'm playing Legion recently, but I just wasn't happy with the Twins, so I decided to play Scorn instead. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. He's playing the game. I leave. I come back to another game that he's playing. He's playing the Twins. And to mock him a little bit, is like, well, I hope you lose against the Twins. He's like, we laugh about it and walk away. So he loses to the Twins that game. The next game he plays against the Twins, loses to the Twins again. When he gave me that sheet where he lost to the Twins, I just yell across the room, sorry. He just throws his hands up in the air. So I thought that was funny.
Good work setting him up for failure.
The thing I noticed before we leave the Twins, the thing I noticed was that people seemed to like be down on them in the theory hammer machine. But seeing
the theory hammer
machine,
the theory hammer machine, whatever.
Good work.
People seem to be down on them, but the impression I got from the Twins was that people enjoyed playing them, that they were fun. I think they do some pretty good stuff. I mean, it was also like I've been paying attention to Lock and Load on the Twitter and stuff. As soon as Jake Van Meter got the Twins, he played them immediately. Like, he thought that they were good enough to do
well,
that.
Well, you hear that? They're very good. They're awesome, everybody.
Yeah,
well,
he probably took, like, 8 War Beasts.
He did. That's exactly what he did. He took
all lights.
All, war
all
beasts.
Light War Beasts. Not...
And he took 8 Archangels, is what he did.
I don't know if that fits.
Did he really?
That's exactly it. That's exact. Because you can fit 160 points of War Beasts in with Saren and Ryas. That's what makes him so good.
He only knows Medoff, okay? Don't make fun of him.
Yeah, Jeff's just confused and lost here.
He plays right, moving along.
The Gobber Pirates, which are they mercs or the minions? Gobber
I
Pirates.
Don't know. Whatever they are, they're weird.
They're mercs. Hordes and mercs minions are all together.
They're like three solos that have drag guns, but they're the reverse drag guns, so they hit somebody with them, and then they like swing to that person.
And then they can make a melee attack, and they're like mat 5 and power 6, but you suffer -2... strength and something else. What is it? Defense? It's -2 strength and defense.
Yeah, it's real weird.
It's like, what the hell is this? Like, weird little deep, like...
Now, they do have hand weapons.
Yeah,
so Hawk works.
Oh, okay.
Hawk works with them.
Do they? Oh, because are they privateers?
They're sea dogs.
They're mercs.
They're sea dogs.
Oh, then that comes together, so you can hopefully, yeah, with Hawk, you can get boosted hits, so maybe you can, like, drop somebody's defense.
Boosted damage.
Oh, that's basic damage. I wonder if the dwarf works for them. You can give them payday.
They're sea dogs.
But are they a unit? I think that's just unit that has to take.
I think
that.
There's 3 solos, I thought.
Yeah, they're 3 solos. I'm just saying they're not a unit. I think the payday only works with units. So that's weird. I don't understand what they're trying to do.
I think they were like, this is a cool concept, and they came up with the rules with them, and that was it.
Well, I'm looking in the Merc section, and they're not in here on Enter the Crucible.
They work for
Blindwater.
So, moving on.
I'm just saying, they work for Blindwater, and you can take three of them. So you can take this weird, unit of, what is it, 3 for 2? So yeah. 9 of just shooting solos to go with your Croak Raiders. So the Blindwater gun line, it's coming.
That's awesome.
Not really.
Okay, so Morgul tier.
It's interesting. I haven't really dojoed it out yet, but it does have the troll factor of the big thing about it is it removes advanced deployment from your opponent.
That's what?
Yeah, the second part
of the tier is your opponent loses advanced deployment.
Opponent models loses advanced deployment.
That could piss off a lot of lists. Tier have to body and soul and watch them cry.
Yeah, tier 3 of it reduces the cost of War Beast and his battle group by a point.
Nice.
So it's all pain. It's Blood Runners, all pain givers basically. But it's basically going to be Blood Runners. He can take minion units that work for Scorn.
So you're going to have your Gatorman.
You can have Gatorman. You can have Croak Raiders. You can have all different types of things. And you have his, I think, heavy warbeasts are reduced by 1, so you can do...
Yep, tier 3 is heavy warbeasts are reduced by 1. You can have any non-character warbeast. Solos is just an agonizer and a pain giver.
Yeah, wow. Units are just pain giver units and minion units that work for Scorn.
So you can build, like, this advanced deploy heavy Scorn army that denies advanced deploy from the opponent, runs up the table, and then has Silence of Death and Morgul as an assassination threat.
Do you think you can make it an anti-body and soul list?
If I have access to the shaman, yes. Because the shaman has the remove upkeeps animus.
Yeah, you do.
It's just Scorn non-character warbeast. The shaman's not a character.
Yeah. So you can take a shaman, or you can remove all
the. And the shaman would be a point cheaper if you went up to tier 3.
No, he's a light.
He's a light. It's only heavies.
It's heavy.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. But there's some interesting things you can do.
But you do have to... You got to throw in 3 heavies to get that tier.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's Scorn. They don't have that hard that's time. Not... I mean, not all the time, but...
I was also looking at, you can build a really good anti-Menoth list with it, because you can take you can take 3 heavies. You can take the Gladiator and 2 soldiers, so they're point cheaper. So you have like 7-point Gladiator and 8-point soldiers. So the soldiers are in the advanced deploy line, but Morgul has Silence of Death, so you can shut down Martyrdom. You can be like, you can't really shoot me because I'm armor 24 on the advance. You don't. Your errands can't advance deploy anymore.
No, he's stuff like that. That's interesting. I mean, I would play it if I were you, just to mess with people.
The Rock, Mayhew. The Rock.
Well, the Rock doesn't need no advance deploy.
All right, moving along.
Yeah.
Can you smell?
Moving along to Crix.
Crix, Danny 3. Carter.
Carter.
Moving along.
So I played 2 games with Danny 3 yesterday, and it was just like the whole time I'm like, why is this not Danny 1? I don't know. That's like
fair.
Looking at, but I tried really hard to make it to make it work. The list I was using was I was actually using Sepulcher 2 with 2 units of Mech Thralls, 2 Necrosurgeons, a unit of Nyss Hunters, and 2 sets of the Soul Trappers. So I was using a bunch of new stuff, and 2 Arknodes and a Scarlock.
She is not on this post either.
She's not. She got pulled a while back.
In the comments,
I think.
Look in the comments for that post.
It's really hard. There's a lot of like weird order activation issues with her. Like, you want to get stuff out and then have her go and suck souls off stuff that's been mortality'd already. And so, like, I think Death Jack might. I'm going to try her again with Death Jack and have Death Jack get mortality out first, run soul trappers up, kill stuff, then suck the souls off that. Granted, you don't get to fuel Death Jack that way, but there's. The whole time I'm playing with her, I'm playing with my first game was against Thyrion. Is that how you say it?
Thyron.
Okay. Tyrone.
Thyron.
The strong elf.
Yeah.
He's bigger and blacker than every other elf.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
So he's got like all the super solos that just ignore all my defensive spells and all my focus stack. So I can't bully with Danny at all. Which is just what.
Thyron's from a House Elowir, so I all of a sudden thought Thyrone from House Elowir. Elowir.
Oh my god.
That was worth chopping the whole thing down for. Yeah.
I'm really glad you didn't talk into the mic.
I just want you all to know he was killing himself silently over here. Like, he was laughing at himself when he came up with that joke in his head.
Killing him softly with thigh rom.
Jesus Christ. And then
go on. You were talking about
overall. He's just you're underwhelmed.
I'm like super underwhelmed, and it's like really disappointing. I'm gonna try like Dutch Jack and switch it up, do some other stuff with her. But I mean that feat is pretty damn cool. Like on her feet, turn after if you hold under focus.
I thought it was powerful. Cool that you were when you were disrupted by Pierre's. You still could. You're like, I still have souls. I can still do stuff.
Yeah, Pierre's shot me because I don't have an inflictor.
And that kind of leads to the Soul Trapper because the Soul Trapper seems like just. A really handy little guy.
Yeah, well, I think if you're playing Dinny through, you need Soul Trappers. Like, you should probably take two sets in every list just because of the way she functions and how easily she can just grab all the souls off him. And the fact that Soul Trappers can just stack souls on. Like, if you have two or three Soul Trappers that all have souls, granted, that's actually kind of hard to manufacture, but then they can activate and just stack it all on your caster. They only range 5 for that stack, which is just really weird.
And they die really easy.
Oh yeah, granted they're half a point. So.
Yeah, they are half a point. So they
honestly, that I'm really happy with the Soul Trappers. I think they're a really solid add to Crix. A lot of times you're stuck with that little 1 point, and it's like, okay, I'll take a Machine Rake, which is also a good choice. But yeah. A Soul Trapper is now something that I'll be going for.
That also gets your would that get your Necrosurgeons 5 more inches of safety?
What?
Wouldn't that get your Necrosurgeons 5 more inches of safety? Oh, that's Corpse Tokens. Corpses,
yeah. Yeah.
The only thing,
Never mind. Before
we 100% leave Denny 3, the only thing that I noticed was that she just doesn't seem offensive enough for what she wants to do.
Yeah, it's like she has to camp if she wants to be in the middle of the board threatening stuff, and she's camping. She can still do stuff with the souls, but you got to get that soul train rolling.
And her end game can't be always, I want to charge your caster and drop a Scourge in front of you and then kill you or something along those lines. She needs to be, like, outside of mortality, affecting her army more than she's doing. Because at this point, she's kind of a crappy Denny 1 if she's not doing more than that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that the trade-off is, like, you can kind of mortality the enemy army, like, every turn. So you can kind of have, like, the offensive part of Denegra 1's feet out at all points. But she doesn't have any control elements, except for, I mean, her knockdown spell, which... However, minor control element you want to consider that.
Denny 1 also has that spell.
Yeah, but Denny 1 has that as well. And it's really hard to actually fuel the souls necessary to keep that out. So it's like the one crucial turn that you want the damage out there, Denny 1 can just pop her feet and have that anyway. So, I mean, it's weird.
I think she's most definitely worth still playing around with.
So what about Bartholomew?
We're 45 minutes in.
Shrek is next.
What? Oh, yeah, the little guy.
We'll go to what the Shrike. I don't. I mean, it's kind of cute. With
you guys got a Griffin.
Yeah, we got a Bladewing Griffin.
We got a Bladewing Griffin, which is I was like, yay! And nobody uses them in Circle, and we'll probably not use them here.
Maybe in like Machine Mines.
What was that? What was the one you were talking about with the Light Warjacks?
I was gonna run Witch Coven with like Light Spam, but even still, I'm like, no, I'd rather have another Scavenger or a.
Okay.
Or a Stalker than the Shrike.
So, I don't think it. The Barathrum.
Robert Barathrum.
That
Robert
one is
Barathrum.
Yeah, Robert. Robert's really weird. Like, he's 10 points. He's competing with Nightmare. I mean, Death Jack's 2 more points, but he's still kind of competing in that slot. I was like, who can run him best? And I was like, Gatsby 3, I think, can be really cool with him because the mobility works for his drag below as well. So he can charge 4 to 11 inches, grab something, move back 8, dig in. He removes that thing from play, which is kind of cool. The counter charge is interesting.
Dig in is just great on a jack.
Especially for a Crix Heavy, because it's only armor 17. So if anything gets to it, it dies. So it's like, oh, thank God, I've got cover.
And he's 10 points and has normal arms, so he probably has reach. Like Oh, no, wait.
No, he doesn't have reach.
Well, Nightmare does.
He's base pal 17, which I also really appreciate. So I was using Gassy 3 and trying to like, okay, what if...
And he has feedback.
He does feedback, which didn't come up, but...
It's like we bonded to Terminus.
What if they're like really trying, like, you know, Scything Touch him, make him pound 19? That kind of Terminus had a bond. Threat. Yeah, Terminus had a bond. So that obviously Epic Terminus is probably in the pipe somewhere down the line.
Well, that's just special issue. Always the bonded part is always in there.
Yeah, it's
a
special issue.
But I thought, I don't know, time will tell with him. I just don't know if he's going to usurp like Nightmare spot and like the Negger lists and that kind of issue.
It'll have to be like a really strong reason to take him over the other ones, or if those characters are in the other list, like you had Body and Soul and then you were wanting something.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good, but you're right. I mean, he's competing with Nightmare, who's amazing.
Yeah, I think like Witch Coven could potentially do work with him. Infernal Machine and him would be pretty cute. You know, plus two movement and mat 10.
Do you have any other like defense buffs besides Ashen Veil on Lich 3?
No, I mean, but I really didn't need Ashen Veil on him because he's already getting cover from the dig-in. But it, like, making him pow 19, mat 10, and speed 8 was pretty cool.
I have a suspicion that his model is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
his artwork looks really good.
So
the artwork on everything so far has been pretty nice, I think.
Okay, then we're getting to the first of the new Colossals. This is the Sepulcher.
I like the Sepulcher a lot, actually. The Soul Trappers and the Sepulcher are super happy with.
Now, how hard was it to have three Necrosurges on the table?
It was
in time turns.
That was my issue. When I was playing Guinea 3, I essentially had three Necrosurgeons, and trying to play that in the 10-minute turns was just killing me. Like, I was just falling over myself. But I did pull off a really, really cool trick.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
And Quint was like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm like, watch this. I was playing against the Thyrone player. He has this Imperatus who, like, ran up to a relatively safe distance at my Mech Thrall unit. So I put a Necrosurgeon on one flank and the Sepulchers on the other side of the unit. Necrosurgeons activate. They start killing my Mechanic Thralls, just shooting them dead off one side and the side. So the Sepulcher gets three, Necrosurgeon gets three. Sepulcher advances. Oh, I had to Negra put Mortality and knock down Hyperion or Imperatus from safety. Sepulcher advances, shoots the piss out of it, drops three mech thralls off. Necrosurgeon advances, drops three mech thralls off, and then just charge from stupid threat.
You got five there, I think?
Yeah, I got five, and Numenus just annihilated him.
Only took three?
Well, he was like armor 16 at that point. It was dice minus one and every single auto-hitting attack. So.
Oh, yeah, he was completely
I'm not
crunchy.
Saying he rolled good.
Right. But the distance there, I would say, is probably like... Look, because I saw that game too. I thought it was like 13, 14, 15 inches or something like that. Something like really high from like where the Mechanthrall unit started and where Imperatus ran to.
Yeah, it was like a big difference. And offensive output of his guns is really solid.
The burst fire was actually surprising. It's nice.
Yeah, but I mean, granted, it's Krix with debuffs, so.
The thing about burst fire, especially in Krix, is because it only affects. Larger base models. I mean, it's not like an assassination tool, but that thing will walk up and put.
I mean, it can throw five shots out there, versus the Kraken where you might only get three.
It seems like, and this seems like a recurring theme with all these new Colossals, but also, but this one as well, which is like less threat range but more support for the army, and like all of his guns are a lower threat range than the Kraken. I don't think Sepulcher replaces Kraken like Gorshe too, even though...
No, probably not.
And the Kraken seems to be more like the more offensive piece. Like, it wants to charge in, it wants to do a kill shot.
Yeah, and
has
it doesn't
long-range
naturally
gun.
Get the corpse tokens to add the strength like the Kraken does. So, like, the offensive output of the Sepulcher in melee is always going to be a little bit less, but it's actually kind of hard to get that corpse factory going anyway with the Kraken.
I think ultimately the Sepulcher will be seeing more play than the Kraken at this point, especially if you have
Mechanthrals. I don't know. It's too soon to tell, I think.
That's
fair. With certain casters, it's going to, like, I'm excited to try him with Scar 1 a lot, actually. I really want to try a Scar 1 list with Mech Thralls and the Sepulcher in it.
It's a cool design space. So, Retribution. So we have Thyron.
No. We don't have Thyron. We have Thyron.
What's Thyron's full name? I know it was Denegra the Soul.
Demetrius Thyron Jackson.
That actually sounds very accurate.
So why don't you explain this joke, Clint?
He's on a medium base, so yeah. He's bigger. So I just think I think Thyron's a black man. He's a black elf.
He's a strong.
And I really am glad they're bringing more diversity to the Iron Kingdoms because Siege and Doc Killingsworth were having a hard time.
That's true.
And it was just them by themselves.
I'm really hoping to get the red book and maybe he has a darker complexion. The Reckoning book.
Oh my gosh. What's wrong with you guys?
So, I am.
Oh yeah, Carter. When I was making that joke while he was playing Thyron against Thyron, he wasn't laughing or anything. He didn't think it was funny at all.
No, because he was kicking my ass. So, I actually think Thyron might be the best cast.
So he's Thyron, Sword of Truth.
I am super excited about him because he opens up a playstyle in Retribution that was always there, but just the army never supported it.
I think they left Reach off his card. He does not have Reach.
And his weapon's only POW 13. A little disappointed.
Oh, it is. Okay, sorry. It's Reach.
It's a Reach POW 13 Weapon Master.
Oh, okay.
If he's Storm Raven.
Disappointed in that.
Riposte seems
just mean.
Yeah.
He's definitely a black man with 13. 13's a good number.
He can Storm Ravager himself and become Power 15. He'll be like a Mat 9 Power 15 Weapon Master.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a shower than a grower.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I think he's a beat stick that Rhett really was needing.
Well, the guy that was playing against you with him, he had like all the awesome solos, and all of them with Storm Rager were doing some hefty damage to the Sepulcher.
And the fact that he had a bunch of units that were like two attack, so like battle mages, all of a sudden become like these offensive melee powerhouses with his feet. Where you're like, why is a unit of six battle mages just picking up 12 of my models? Like it's nothing.
Because they have beat back and sidestep, so they move 3 inches.
Yeah, that's
Onslaught,
so dumb.
Onslaught's great for them.
And an aura, at least as it was explained to me. Yeah, beginning their activation, starting. So the fact that his feet is a pulse means they can just charge out of it. You don't have to try and be tethered to the 12-inch control area.
So you can assail.
Why does he have Spell Piercer as well?
Because Spell Piercer is not that big of a deal in Rhett because of Arcane Assassin and all the Mage Hunter and stuff. But it does give you magic weapons out the yin yang and blessed all over the place.
Yeah, I don't like a Rhett caster that's going to make Rhett outpunch Kricks because that's what's happening here. Yeah.
And Onslaught. Onslaught's the biggest ability on his card because there was only one other way to give Sentinels and Dawn Guard and any unit that didn't natively have Pathfinder in Rhett, and that was Viro spending 3 cost, and he's never taking any infantry in his list anyway. But having access to Onslaught is a big, big deal.
Yeah, I think Rhett players should be super happy with that one.
It's like, how about a
It is really. It does look like a punchy kind of army with him, which they don't have outside of taking the
Virus 2-tier.
Yeah, but it's in a different way.
Yeah, it's infantry instead of Jax.
Speed 8 Imperatus with boosted attack rolls and sidestep. Yeah, sidestep
and
already.
And cleave, don't forget
and
cleave.
Yeah, and cleave.
Wait, how does he get speed 8?
Sail.
Sail!
It's not speed 8.
I'm super happy with him. I can't wait to get him on the table, honestly, because he's awesome. He's kind of like what the thing that Rhett always wanted is his really awesome.
I like how whatever Rhett always wanted is like the last thing that came out. Like, it's serious. He's like what Rhett always needed.
Well, Rhett always
and
needed.
Nobody
it's
else
like the same. It's like it was what Rhett always wanted. And it's like now there is what Rhett always wanted.
If I were to have one negative on Thyron, it's like I really wish Thyron had like Ignite or something like that.
Yeah, you got Storm Rager. You don't need Ignite.
A Storm Rager is only on a model at a time.
That's all that matters.
And his other downside might be his focus efficiency. He doesn't really have a lot of it at all.
Yeah, but he doesn't really want to get up in the crap. And even though he's got really solid offensive stats, it's not like doesn't look to me like a frontline caster.
I also really like the fact that he has Blade Shield, which gives him +2 defense against ranged attacks. And then in red, you can give him Force Barrier on top of that.
Oh, yeah. You can tell him about that.
Yeah, I had Thyron knocked down, and he was still defense 13 through the various bullshit. I was like, what the hell is this? And my Sepulcher's like, well, I'm not killing an armor 23 Thyron that's still defense 13 while knocked down. This is garbage.
It's awesome. I think he competes for one of the best in the book as far as casters is concerned.
I honestly don't think he competes. I think he just takes it and runs away with it.
Just straight
maybe runs. Maybe Haley 3.
And again, it's like he adds something to Rhett that Rhett does not have normally and enables a different
Rhett style. Still has a smaller stable of casters, so I think that...
But most of her casters are like, I'm about shooting and meleeing, and Thyron's like, I don't know what about these gun things. I guess you could take them if you want to. I'm going to go punch shit.
Yeah, but I just think it's more likely that they're going to get casters that are more like that top tier level of stuff just because of the fact they have a smaller stable of casters.
And they're not afraid to give Rhett those top level stuff now, which is nice.
They need to quit it, though.
Okay.
So the Void Tracer.
The Void Tracer. He chases voids.
That guy pissed me off the whole game, too, because I could never devote a gun to him. And the whole time, he's just like, yeah, then he takes D3. Then he takes G3. Then he takes, like, stop it!
I really like him because you can just take him, like, against circle druids or anything like that. You're like, hey, you know, this guy's just hanging out here. This is a better rule than the actual Solus Escort, which is, oh, well, we're mage tag. You're -5 range, your spell. I'm like, well, I'll just damage you instead. The funny interaction is them and Gareth has a psychic vampire, which is kind of cool. So they're like, cast a spell, take 1 plus D3 damage.
But then you have to take Gareth.
That's true, and there's no reason to take him. Here's the funny thing. Maros is better in Thyron than he is with Gareth.
Thyron.
Of course.
Thyron.
Thyron.
What about Helios Tantos?
Helios! I wasn't necessarily like super excited about him, and then Rian, who won the best in Rhett yesterday, was taking Helios with Virus too, and I'm like, okay, this suddenly makes sense now. Because you give Helios a focus, which could be from your power booster. Helios walks up and goes, okay, cool. 5 griffins have a focus now. Like, oh, yeah, okay, great.
Yeah.
This is nice. This is really nice.
Yeah, Virus 2? Super excited.
Virus 2. And also...
how many different rules does this stupid thing need?
It has a million rules.
It has no ranged attack, so it actually has to punch things with a fist.
Okay, but it does have force barrier, attack. Force gate, broadcast power, distortion no field, repulsor attack. Field, virtuoso. I mean, what the Christ?
The other thing about him is that it doesn't ever say that you can't push a model with the tractor beam more than once. So one of the games we had recorded, which was spoiler alert, somebody had a caster behind Colossal hiding it, and Helios walked up, and it's because Virus 2 has bird's eye and just ignores the Colossal, just tractor beamed him right out from out of the Colossal.
That's such bullshit.
And then I was like, oh, here's a couple griffins.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So that actually, like, actually seeing it in play, I was more impressed with it. And the upside is, like, in Rhett doesn't have anything that really... Like Jack Wise, it really hits super hard. I mean, Imperatus maxed out at 19. I mean, like, when you're hitting 20, 21, 22, all their Colossals hit like 20. And now Helios is still a power 20, 22 under, a concentrated power, you know, beat stick that has an interesting gun and some cool abilities about it.
And he's only 17 points.
And 17 points is also a really good aspect.
He's 17?
17.
Oh, wow. So he's the cheapest Colossal.
Yeah, he's the cheapest Colossal. And he still has the same damage box as Hyperion. So he's will be hard to kill as well.
And I think Rhett also got another good pick with the, what the hell they're called?
The Electromancers?
Yeah.
Those guys are awesome.
I was looking at them and I was like, man, these guys are super solid. They die. They die left and right.
They all have Storm Troll guns.
Pretty much. Or the D3 damage rolls. How about that under Ozzyan's feet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, the D3 damage rolls is crazy. Because, like, okay, damage roll 1, 3d6. Damage roll 2, 3d6. Damage roll 3, 3d6.
Or however many you roll. I mean, you might only get 4 damage rolls, but you might get 12. And it's like, and now your heavy's dead, or, you know, whatever.
So you're not rolling the damage from the metal.
No, you are, but you're getting multiple rolls from the damage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, one of their attacks is if you hit a model... Then that model takes D3 different damage rolls.
And it's important to point out they are simultaneous. So one tough roll cures them all.
Okay, that's actually interesting to know.
But also, if you hit a warlock with it, all the damage stacks for the purpose of the transfer.
Yes, that's also
that's
true.
Actually probably bad because you want to draw the transfers out.
If I could kill a heavy with it, I would be happy.
Yeah, but anyway, I think they're gonna find a good home in like a lot of Ozzyan lists.
Raven.
And Raven too, yeah. The extra snipe and the hit rolls.
Yeah, Red got some solid releases this book, like super solid.
I think
everybody got solid releases.
Yeah. I think so too. I think some more than others.
So Kador
faction.
Kador
over here.
Soul Trapper's cool.
Soul Trapper's cool and the Sepulcher's pretty cool.
And so. Robert's cool. And the Sepulcher. Robert's okay.
Robert's okay.
King Rob.
The Usurper.
Yep.
Usurper's okay.
That actually sounds like a Kirk's Warjack.
All right, Kador, we have the Mad Dog. So the Mad Dog and its companion piece, the Roger, is that
the
it?
Rager?
Rager? Oh, the Rager.
It's a, the Roger.
It's a massive Rager. Mad Dog is kind of interesting. The thing is, like, the Mad Dog, it seems like a berserker for a point less. It has a cool trample rule about it.
No, that's Mad the Dog. Rager.
No, the Rager is a Shield Guard Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kator player. You're right.
It's still a power 14. It's a power 14.
Shut up, troll guy.
It's 5 points, so it's basically.
I didn't get anything in this book except for Crow Craters,
which are awesome.
They are awesome. They're so cool.
It's coming. That book's coming out like in fall or something like that. So the Mad Dog is kind of interesting. Like, both on the Mad Dog and the Rager, there's like. Kator now has lights. Kator now actually has the ability, and of course it always did with the Berserker, but it has the ability to have multiple ways to fill out like 5 points in a jack.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Five or 6 points in a jack.
Oh, so my Vlad list, I don't really want Ruin or whatever. I'll just take a Rager.
I think the shield guard jack is awesome. It's always worthwhile having a shield guard around.
I think the Rager replaces the Berserker in the version of the Butcher 2 list, which is... How many Doom Reavers can I fit into 50 points? Fill the Warjack points with.
Yeah, you just got some more points there.
No, it was the same. The Rager is the same.
It's another Merc solo or something. Like, I'm sorry, not Bircher 2's list, but that's another Merc solo you could take, probably.
The thing is, like, they don't hit hard.
You don't have to take Beast on 9.
You still have a 7-point Juggernauts. None of them have, like, innate Pathfinder or anything like that. They're a power 14 heavies.
But they run for free.
I think you have two situations. You have the situation where they are your one and only jack just to fill points, and you have the situation where you have like six of them.
Yeah, my thought was the one and only jack to fill points is what Kator was like. Yay, I have a one and only jack to fill points that doesn't suck and it's going to be useful with the shield guarding and that all that all the time, and it can run for free so I can keep up with my army. And it's like, yeah.
And then if you really, really have to, you can give them some focus and... Try to kill something.
The Rager is the one I'm impressed with the most, just because it's an armor 20 shield guard jack.
Yeah,
you can just walk around and be like,
"Oh, thank you. I'll take that arrow shot."
Be careful about spending focus.
Yeah, it's true.
Which makes the next girl on the list, Miss Zerkova 2, ridiculously hard to kill in certain situations.
Zerkova 2 is weird but good.
Yeah, I'm still like, I'm not like super enthused with her, but
she's your freaking body and soul drop if I ever saw one.
Yeah.
Because your cavs spray, and then they light cavalry move forward.
Well, they also might have a turn where they
move.
Makes
them spray again.
Yeah. They'll kill a lot of infantry. So, like, Occult Whispers is...
So much infantry.
Occult Whispers is a spell that is a feat.
Turnians.
What's that? Yeah.
Turnians?
Turnians that have Battle Whisper because of the Colden Lord.
Yeah. I know.
I look at Jacoba too, I'm like, no, why? Why, Kator? Why are you making sprays even worse for me? This sucks.
Stuart played it all day yesterday, played her all day yesterday, and the rule I missed was the fact that she can sack pawn to her Doom Reavers, which actually saved him in a game because Ryas, one of the twins, Ryas got to
her. Well, it's not sack pawn, it's if like she takes a hit.
It's self-sacrifice.
Yeah,
self-sack.
That's what the stone and what Aaron's have.
There you go.
It actually saved Stuart in one game because like the last attack on caster, Doom Reaver jumped in front of it. Oh, I guess
yeah.
Did she have Sacred Ward in her first incarnation?
Her first incarnation, she had Orgoth Seal.
So it's better.
So she's better. Her prime feat's the only thing that's better about Zerkova 1. Nonokrian Brand is kind of interesting. I don't see her arcing that much. I mean, the Hoarfrost boost is kind of cool. I think she's only going to have a target out there to be able to arc through. But
yeah, it was really weird.
Dissolution Bolt is awesome against the Kricks.
Dissolution Bolt's on Lucant, and I've played those games where I was like, I can shut down the Arc Nodes on casters, and it's like it doesn't come up as often. Maybe
when you can cast Positive Charge and Purification.
The thing is like, oh, I'll shut down the
Togesh Mark is cool too. You basically create your own Arc Node.
Yeah,
but what we're discussing is like she doesn't have too much that she would really want to arc.
I know. I'm just
Hoarfrost is. Like, she, Occult Whispers, tosses a Hoarfrost out through her marked model. And Eliminators are, like, the perfect target for them.
Just
all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that beat, too, like, the extra... It was just, everyone's going to make a magic attack.
Including her. So it's like, Hoarfrost. Everybody spray. Yay, spray party.
Yeah, that's so bad.
So I actually have confirmation that I'll have a copy of her model, so she'll probably be the first one of my these new casters I'm going to put on the table.
That'll be good. I'll get to be punished by that.
And then we're going to move on to Victor. So Victor was like really surprising to me.
Harkovich Zerkova 2 is going to be your pairing. You know that, right?
I don't know when Victor's going to come out, but...
When it does happen.
So this is what Victor is. They took Conquest. They gave it a better gun, a different little guns, and that's it. And I was actually surprised, for a point cheaper. I was surprised they didn't do like... Because my thought was like it has a bigger gun in it, so they might make it speed 3. They might not make it be able to hit as hard as Conquest.
No, they just made it better.
No, they kind of like made it better. I think there's still going to be situations where you want Conquest because the direct fire, the critical. Like if I'm making an anti-Bradigus old witch list that's building off of the crit dev, I think Conquest is natively a little more offensive with his melee than maybe Victor's going to be. Because Victor... Like, think about how turns are going to unpack. I think Victor's more often not going to like want to move forward and shoot on the first turn. So you're going to want like things that can get in zones and stuff. And he's just going to like trudge forward and keep shooting until he has to get into melee. Because the minimum range on his gun's a thing. He's range 20, so he can hit the center line of the table on turn one. Yeah, especially if you're going second.
He's just never going to hit anything at zero rat.
But he has an AoE 5. And you're like, okay, I'm going to pick the set everything on fire AoE 5 gun.
And there's no like direct damage for directly hitting. It's just like, oh, everything's on fire. Cool. Everything's on fire. Cool. Everything's on fire.
And obviously the Harkovich interaction was like two of them. You're like, okay, cool.
Oh, you're just choosing which one of those abilities.
Yeah.
That's nifty.
So you're like 4-5-inch fire causing templates turn.
Yeah, that's fire scares me.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I'm really... excited to get him on the table. He might be the first Colossal. I might actually buy a second one of them.
You're going to have like 3 Cater Colossals.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to actually build... I could play easily the 3 Cater Colossal list if I wanted to.
That's crazy.
It's super
Harkovich
crazy.
And Conquest.
Is Harkovich plus 7?
2 Victors.
Oh, it's... Victors are 18.
So oh.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's like... I was thinking about it beforehand. It's like, oh, if Victor's 18 points, you can have a 3 Colossal Harkovich list for the trolling factor of it, and like, oh, of course it's 18 points, so it fits in there. So it's really cool. I mean, Zerkova 2 is a winner in the Kador section, and Victor's a winner in the Kador section, and the other Jacks are fun. And this is also the Ruin book, so I don't think Kador can be mad at what happened.
Yeah,
no, you got all the Jacks that you actually needed. You're supposed to be a Jack faction, and you actually are getting Jacks that you can use.
You gave me a Focus Efficient Jack in Ruin, you gave me Lights, effectively, and he gave me a better Conquest and a cool caster in Zerkova. So I'm happy when it comes to Kador. Kador and Rhett, my two factions out of this book, super happy with everything that came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, screw you.
All right, so we have...
Signar.
You want to go to Signar?
Yeah,
okay, Signar.
Cool. All right, so Signar.
Haley 3 is...
Major Prime Victoria Haley. Is it Victoria Haley? It's Major Prime.
I think it's too early to figure out if she's like busted or not.
JP and a couple other players were playing her all day. I think she's good enough that she actually might be able to be entering Signar tournament rotations. To the point of like maybe Haley 2 is still better, but you could be like, well, Haley 3 is going to be on ADR for 6 months, so you could really play around with her list for a while and get some use out of it.
From the game that I played against JP yesterday, I think a player that has more time and more experience and knows the rules of all three of those Haleys when they're alive will be brutal. Will it be better than the other two? I don't know, because the other two are like top tier casters. You know, they're easily in the top 10 of all casters that exist. It just, I don't know yet from the game that I played.
Here's what she does in Signar. She makes the cloud wall work, the trencher cloud wall work, which is something that's never seen because trenchers are awful and usually just die when they try and do the cloud wall. She makes the cloud wall work, and she has revive, and she has some crazy threat range with her spells. So add all that together, she doesn't have the control elements of Haley 2 or like all those stupid things you can do with her
bonds.
Which
I am super happy about. I'd rather kill things twice than not be able to move forward.
But I think she rewards, like, Haley 3 is going to reward like really like playing her a lot, and it's like, this is the list I worked out with her. Okay, this turn I can do this or this, or this turn I can do this or this, or this list is built around only having future Haley in play and doing like revive and ghost walking all the time, or this list is about only having past Haley in play all the time and just like offensive force hammer, and I would take a bunch of guns to try and kill your caster.
I wouldn't put out past Haley until late game. I was going for an assassination.
Well, honestly, you want all of them out at once because they can't activate the turn they come
in. Yeah, you keep them alive and you just keep them corporeal. And then you just don't.
Yeah, but
you just don't use
wouldn't
them.
You rather just camp two focus most of the time? Like for the first
you're spending
two or three turns?
You're spending four to get eight. So you're still getting four.
No, I'm saying, but I'm talking about camping.
It's true. Well, you have the Cloud Bolt for that.
She has tons of options.
Yeah.
And I think really, really good players are going to figure that out really well.
Like, I still think, like, she's up there. Like, when you're talking about winners of, as far as, like, better casters in this book, she's at least first or second. Probably second.
She's got a high skill cap, I think.
She yeah, definitely. I looked at her and was like, ooh, that seems like there's going to be a lot of players that are not doing well with her, just in general.
Her model is gorgeous, though.
Denny 3 is another hard caster to play, as I found out, but
her model or the art?
Her model's fantastic, too.
Future Haley. The other ones are kind of meh.
Yeah, no, I thought Haley 3 was a very good pick for Signar.
Hey, because it adds something. It adds something that's competitive, but it doesn't add something that necessarily overrides everything else that Signar usually does. I think you can get a lot of play out of Haley. So next up is the Hurricane, another new Colossal, this one for Signar.
It's an Arcanine Colossal.
Yeah, it's got guns. It didn't have any special rules that said you can't, that it can arc while it's engaged. Mm-hmm. So just engage it.
Well, it can still arc while it's engaging. So you have to engage it.
Yeah.
Like
that's what I said. Engage it.
You know, give it a diamond ring and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
I was talking to Pirate Captain about this, and our first impression was Nemo 3. Hurricane Dynamo.
Yeah. Does he have lightning guns?
Yes, Hurricane has lightning guns. He has power 16 lightning guns.
So which is much better than the Stormwall that most people are running with Nemo 3 right now.
I know.
Because the Stormwall doesn't get boosted crap.
Some people still want the Stormwall because of the lightning pod. You can arc off the lightning pod. Or the chain lightning off of it. I think when you have...
Can you get both?
A Hurricane, I think you could probably put Dynamo, Stormwall, and a Hurricane in a Nemo 3 list. I'm not sure. I didn't run the math on that. I think Nemo 3 might have less Warjack points because of his attachment, but
I'm going to look.
That's possible.
Four, I think.
It just seems really annoying to have power 16, 4 dice damage guns on the feed turn.
Yeah, you're just praying they miss. Like, please miss, please miss, please miss.
Or you have... You put a hurricane in the zone, and you engage the hurricane. I'm just going to chain lightning off my hurricane. It can't arc back into my army anyway, so
he only has three warjack points.
Three? Wow. Yeah. It's also interesting that the no fly zone is kind of a weird rule, but it might just come up and win you games occasionally.
Yeah, because if you can actually build a decent wall of like maybe jacks or something like that between Nemo and that Angelius, then you're like, oh, okay, cool. You really just can't get to me now. I'm stuck on Nemo, but
if it's the same cost as the Stormwall, I forgot.
They're a point cheaper. Hurricane's a point cheaper.
Okay, so he's
got... No, I think it actually might be the same cost. I think that was the only one that didn't get a point.
So he's got five extra points to play with. So that's three Stormcallers. You can keep talking while I'm building this.
Other casters besides none of us are really deep Signar players. I think the Hurricane was like the consolation prize for all the rest of us who had to deal with the Stormwall for the past couple of years. So I'm kind of okay with the Hurricane not being super amazing, but I think it's still going to be rather useful. And as like if somebody's looking at the rules, its ability to move around models. I might be making stuff up.
Yeah.
I think you're making stuff up.
It can push.
Stormwind, I mean, his two storm emitters can push D6 directly away.
Yeah, it's like super gun mage pushing. So you obviously, your ranged faction, you want to, you know, Especially if you're shooting at heavies, you can just lower the threat range.
That's what people were talking about in the P. Haley list. Instead of Stormwall, you go push away, you can't charge. 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 Yeah, that seems fun.
Yeah.
Let's see what Signar.
If I played Signar and play this list right now. Nemo, Dynamo, Stormwall, Hurricane, Stormcaller, 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 Stormsmith, no, Storm Tower.
Yeah.
Boosh.
You went to the Storm Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Storm Tower is actually good with Nemo 3. Because it's also an electro leap gun. It's all electricity.
You got it. Okay, whatever.
It's 2 points, too.
Well, you're not taking, like, Gorman, who's in another list. You're not taking...
Gorman's in your Haley 3 list.
So yeah, that's Gorman's in your Haley 3 list.
Yeah. So we have Ace, the character light that is for Kane.
That guy is, I think, weird, but pretty good.
I just want to know who in Privateer thought it was a good idea to buff Kane.
Right? It's like, we need a gun mage Jack, because those things aren't shitty enough.
You know what? We should give...
Shitty for everybody else, I mean.
We should give P. Kane a magic bullet.
Yeah. Oh, God. They gave P. Kane magic bullet. And the fact that it ignores stealth, that Jack does not look fun to me.
Well, not fun to play against at the very least.
It's just going to kill all your, like, solos. Just like, oh, there's your Warwitch Siren. Oh, there's Gorman. Oh, there's the Black 13th member who has the stupid double pistols and AoE. Like, ugh.
I hadn't talked to Stuart about it yet, but Stuart took the Hunter in his Epic Kane list just for the random, I'm going to tag something and magic bullet it.
Now you can double magic bullet?
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, that's so dumb.
Yeah, because it's not the same rule.
It's only power. It's a power 10, not a power 12, but it's still bad enough where it's like, oh yeah, there goes your UA for your Chaosies or something. Something you want. It's gone.
It's Signar, so at this point I don't think we should be surprised at any of that.
So yeah, Ace. I think Ace is solid. Ace is Ace.
Ace is Ace.
And obviously they got Dynamo in this book too, which is utterly amazing.
Awesome. Months ahead of everybody else. Stupid Signar and bastards.
So can the Trench Buster please be a Signar ally mercenary?
Why is that?
Because I'd take him.
He looks cool. I mean, I'm not too sure about his rules, honestly. He has survivability, which is nice, and he does buff the Trenchers. I think this book was PP telling Signar players, like, please play Trenchers. We'll make we'll give you a Trencher tier. We'll make Trencher Clouds work with Haley 3.
We know someone that plays solo. Trenchers all the time.
Yeah.
And Clint likes anybody who has girded. That's like his jam.
I just think he likes saying the word. Try it, Clint.
Girded. The Trencher solos, the new Trencher solo seems like it's something that I don't know if it's going to see a lot of play, honestly, because
it's 3 points.
It is 3 points. It has survivability. It's nice if you're already having taken Trenchers anyway, but I don't like look at him and be like, oh, it suddenly changed how Trenchers work.
He'd be better if he was a unit attachment.
Yeah. Or if he like did like a shield march type thing or something like that.
It was like Signar like starved for points.
Yeah.
So finding 3 points for Trencher buffer is a little rough.
He doesn't even buff them.
Yeah, nothing.
He doesn't do anything to buff them.
So I'm not sure on that. Maybe we'll be proven wrong in time, but I'm not super super enthused on that thing. All right, let's get to Fred Durst.
Jeff, what are your impressions?
Jeff did it all for the Nucky. Played him.
Well, in the event yesterday, I got a chance to actually play him and everything else that came out.
Anston Durst, the Rock of Faith.
Yes. I don't know what to do with him yet, to be honest. Speed 5 with a POW 15 weapon master magical reach weapon is just awesome. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to put in his army. I mean,
He does do something that no other Manoth caster does. Well, he does two things that no other Manoth caster does. Not die immediately. He camps up the wazoo and like it's actually hard to kill. And he, outside of Amon, he actually gives your Jax Pathfinder, which is just not cool. It's not cool, man.
Yeah.
And he's a paladin, and that's cool.
It is, except all the other paladins kind of suck.
He is like...
Wait, what paladins suck?
Yeah.
Paladins of the Wall and Vilmon kind of suck.
Yeah, they kind of.
They don't get used ever for anybody.
Well, you're also in Menoth, so you're 2-point solo options. It's like, it's not that they're like super bad. It is, do I take a Vassal or a Paladin of the Order of the Wall? I mean, we're not talking about
a Legion of the Fists.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, those guys aren't good.
Those guys are not good,
or whatever the heck they're called.
No, I think his feats is a little weird. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're gonna take him with a whole bunch of jacks, go jack heavy, and just say +5 armor for a turn. Awesome. It's
are you or are you gonna take him more to utilize the other aspect of his feat where whatever's touching a deck is invincible? Basically,
yeah. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, and I thought whether it's 2 vigilance or 2 repenters or all 4 of those and 2 units of bastions. You know, on your front line, you've got 2 bastions in a triangle with one of those jacks on a feat turn, and it's either armor 23 or 26 with a vigilant, and just say, okay, you're not touching me, you're not killing anything because I'm going to transfer for the vigilant's 25, but I'm just going to transfer all the damage to that jack that you can't hurt, and then I'm just going to clear that lane and keep moving forward.
Yeah, him on his feet turn in his stance with the jack next to him is just awful.
Yeah,
like,
you're
not killing him.
I get crap from Carter all the time that I don't take a Devout with my Harbinger list.
Mm-hmm.
But I took a Devout in my list yesterday with Durst.
Yeah, no,
because of the synergy
to
of him just standing next to that, just going, here's a focus. You can't kill me. I don't care what you do.
You can't spell me. My focus is ridiculously high. I have a way to shuffle off like an arrow shot or something like that. And you can get like a Warpwolf Stalker to me, and just that's been like hitting me in the face. I'm like, oh, cool. You're not killing me.
Yeah. And deflection is nice. I mean, being able to have a bonus to armor. I used the list yesterday. I had a unit of Bastions in the list, and Flame Guard Cleansers, with the new solo as well. And that, or not Flame Guard Cleansers. I'm sorry, Temple Flame Guard, and that was fun to have them. With the bonus armor as well as shield wall on top of their Iron Zeal mini feat, and just go, okay, cool. We are basically armor 23 against guns. Let's do this. I mean, that was pretty solid.
Yeah, he seems like a really interesting caster, and I think he's really good, and I think he's really, really good, honestly.
Plus, your vassals get a lot better because Wall of Steel means they can't knock him down. So
that was the nice thing. Like, the Vigilant has girded, so it gives blast immunity to anything base contact with it. So a Vassal on his feet turn sitting next in base contact with the Vigilant, it's like, I don't know
yeah,
how to kill it.
I think this list, it kind of tends himself to armor, obviously armor up and not be killable for a turn, maybe even more. But using lights to that sort of advantage, you're not killing other heavies. You're using POW 11 base vigilance, so they're POW 13s with a choir. That's not killing other heavies. Bastions, they could, but you've got to be able to get a charge, not just walking up in 3 dice -7.
You don't have one 8. Heavy.
I did yesterday. I also thought potentially Crusaders. They're 6 points. Because those with a choir are killing heavies, and those with boundless charge are now speed 6, killing heavies. That I think I could get behind.
So basically, you're doing Kador's bit, but better.
Maybe not anymore. They got some good stuff.
Kador doesn't have only has 1 feat for armor buff.
Yeah,
and it's not nearly as good.
Not +5.
Oh, not terribly impressed with his tier either.
No.
The double units of Flame Guard might be interesting.
That's kind of cool. I mean, but I can't really see a whole lot of benefit of going past tier 2.
Yeah.
Because if you're not taking Paladin solos, you don't care about their advanced move, and tier 4 is Warjacks with the shield. They just get one focus during your first turn.
Lets you run. He's not very focus efficient. That's a downside.
No, he's not, but...
But he doesn't have a whole lot that you really need to cast turn 1 anyway, if you don't want to.
Yeah, maybe like deflection. It lets you cast deflection turn 1 in camp.
Can't hear you.
You can cast deflection, yeah. Charge forward.
I mean, he's
He's a snipe feet. He's my snipe feet go drop.
Yeah,
we were talking about the answer. He's like, okay, like base armor 18.
Yeah,
whatever.
You have a red drop now. You have a red drop.
Yeah.
And if you really feel like you have to get all up in it, you just stand him right next to a jack.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you hit him. So.
So how many games did you play yesterday?
So Pyrus.
Yeah, we'll move on to him. I had a lot more fun with the solos than anything.
Skipping the Hand of Judgment.
Sorry, I was looking.
We don't have to. You know, we can go back. Honestly, well worth the 3 points.
I think Pyrus is awesome.
Yeah, he's freaking amazing. If you could actually just add like one more armor to him and change the name to Vilmin, that's what every Menoth player wanted Vilmin to be.
You could add one more armor to him and name him a Warjack.
Yeah. Maybe. I played him yesterday, and I think he's a blast. Well worth the 3 points.
Is he a he's a character or not?
Yeah, he's a character.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like Temple Flame Guard.
Yeah, he's a badass.
Temple Flame Guard character solo is what he is, but he's, I mean,
Beatback, Weapon Master,
Weapon Master on rapid both weapons. Strike.
His art's awesome.
Beatback's on the shield, just FYI.
Yeah.
The fact that he can throw out 3 Weapon Master attacks, he's super hard to kill if he's touching one of his buddies.
Yeah.
Guard might make Harbinger.
And he's
got unyielding,
so he's a 17 in combat.
15? 15?
He's a 15-17.
I know that. I'm just looking at base.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And then Relentless Charge is awesome.
I mean, him and Thyra tooling around would be interesting.
Impenetrable Shield is just dumb.
Yeah,
he's touching a flame guard, then he does not suffer any damage from non-magical.
It was posted on the Menoth forums, and I used the trick as well. As you put all the Temple Flame Guard up front, and he hangs out, touching base to base with the flag bearer, just going, "Okay, cool,
so,
just fine here."
Okay, Hand of Judgment.
Well, it doesn't do anything to them.
No, that's what I mean to him. But anyway, Hand of Judgment. I would say well worth the 10 points. Well worth the 10 points.
Ifiora?
Oh, yeah. I put an Ifiora list yesterday, and he wasn't my bonded jack. I actually bonded a Revelator. But
doesn't have anything special, though, for being... Oh, boosted range attack rolls. Oh, it's so good!
Oh, yeah. So with Acquire, Rat 7 boosted range attack rolls with a POW 14, Spray 8, which is now POW 16 with Acquire.
That you can ancillary attack on top of it, so you get 2 of them?
Yeah.
All boosted to hit.
All boosted to hit. That sounds fun.
That set up things on fire.
Fire.
Why do you have a POW 16 spray?
And flame burst on his weapon.
Yeah, I have to buy weapon. I have to bring a 20-point model for a POW 16 spray. That's rat 5.
This thing's awesome. How many points is he? Oh, 10. He's only 10.
Oh, yeah, and models within 5 inches of him take +2 damage against fire. So if he just walks directly up to it could be a POW 18 spray.
If only you could take the Croak Raiders. That would be hot.
Hot.
So hot.
That's a team tournament, Adepticon team tournament game.
Yeah.
And he's speed 5 and reach, which is, you know, I think it was a big concern
originally. Oh, he has
originally.
Reach too?
He does.
Oh, that's surprising. I didn't think he had a reach.
Reach and crit fire and flame burst on his melee weapon.
Wow, that he's a solid jack.
Yeah, with Ifiora, with Escort, and Aquat. 10 points. Spend 10 points.
So Anston and Furo 1 in Masters on ADR.
He's not taking Anston.
So the Revelator's dumb, too.
The Revelator is kind of dumb.
Why?
The Revelator, like, trades Judicator's long-range guns for all the rules. Like, you don't get stealth. I'm going to shoot you with all these flame guns.
Yeah, he, stealth him, or camouflage
he would
or
be,
concealment.
Yeah, he would be the bonded model with Ifiora because his laser beams now ignore stealth and then cause continuous fire.
And you know what Menoth needed?
No.
Menoth needed a covering fire.
Yeah.
Well, the conflagrator
causes
fire.
Yeah, but the bond causes continuous fire.
Oh. Never mind. That's pretty sweet.
Can she just pick any jack to bond with?
Yeah.
Yeah. If there are certain jacks, it has to be a non-character jack unless the character jack says it can bond to a caster. If the caster itself has a bond, it can initiate a bond. The bonuses are whatever the bond says, and then you can allocate an extra focus.
Yeah, so
if you bond that Jack we were just talking about to Fjord, do you get both benefits, or do you pick one or the other?
What do you mean?
The hand of.
Yeah.
You get both. You get both benefits.
Yeah.
Because he has the affinity with Fiora to get that ability.
And Fiora has the bond.
If she bonds with him, then he gets the...
Yeah, okay, okay. I hate Menoth again.
Menoth, this was a fantastic book for Menoth.
Yes.
Like, I think you can actually make an argument that they may have, quote-unquote, won the book, but that's too close to call.
But the Revelator being able to drop with a Vassal, potentially 3 4-inch AoEs that remain in effect that are Pile 12s if you enter and... your activation in them. And if you wanted to, you put the Hand of Judgment behind those clouds, which are fire-based, so now they're Pile 14s if you walk through them. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's...
Fiora!
Revelation is good. And it's also, a point cheaper than the Adjudicator, too.
It's 19.
No, it's 19. More.
A point more. Oh, yeah, well, that... Good. Thank God.
No, yeah. If that was 17 points, oh my God, I'd make a list with two of them.
It also doesn't get the free focus that the Adjudicator does either, so...
No.
That's kind of a big
but
deal.
But the Adjudicator...
I think they did a good job of not replacing the Adjudicator.
Yeah.
And making it an interesting toss-up. The Revelator gives you some options that Menoth just didn't have before. The self-ignoring guns and the fact that you can lay down covering fire like super easy. And obviously the melee potential of the two jacks are similar. But the Adjudicator, on the other hand, has that stupid freaking... you know, carpet bombing that it does, especially if you are where you're setting stuff on fire and, you know, the sprays. So it's an interesting toss-up, and I think you're just going to be a caster-by-caster basis on what you want to go with.
So P-Sevy, Revelator, Judicator.
No, you can't fit the choir then probably at that point.
Yeah, you need the choir.
Okay, do you have a 7? Do you have a Warjack point 7? I'm going to make the sword. Okay, so I think we're wrapping it up here. So,
no, Purifier. Sorry, I didn't write that on there.
Oh, yeah, the little light guy.
Oh, I did write
that. He's really good, too.
Yeah. He seems like he's a blast.
He's so cute. He's like a little boy, Jack.
Huh. He just wants to be friends.
He does. Flail. He does.
Set everybody on fire. But he's a friend with him.
He sets everybody on fire when you're friends with him. That's the rule.
Yeah,
the flame trail is
fun. Base, you are on fire.
Yeah. Huh. When this model advances into base-to-base contact with an enemy model during its activation, that model suffers fire continuous effect.
How many points is he?
5.
5.
For 2 POW 13.
And he has overtake.
With overtake. And then he's got chain attack combustion.
So if he hits you with both weapons, everyone within 2 inches is on fire.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, Fiora can make lists that doesn't actually need any infantry on the table.
There's a lot of fire in this book.
There is a lot of fire.
There's a lot. Yes, there is.
And a lot of especially look like catered towards Fiora, which wasn't having a problem.
You're right.
Being played, right?
Actually, I think with the stuff that they came out with, I think you can do a lot with Prime Fiora.
Nobody knows who that is.
She's on the ADR list right now, so. Will be. Well, it is right now, yeah.
Well, no, she cycles over.
Oh, in July.
July, yeah.
But,
I mean, it's the only ADR list we cared about because we're not going to. There's no Masters we're going to this month, so.
Yeah. So. Her and.
But ADR and still hurts my head, so.
Yeah. So, quick lightning round to wrap it up. I'm just going to go around. What's the most exciting to you, and who do you think is the who? What won the book to you? So, Carter, what's most exciting to you?
For me, probably honestly the Soul Trapper personally. Or no, I'll make it the Croak Raider is the most exciting.
Dang it! That's the only one I have.
And then I know, but it's so good.
I know, yeah.
It's so good. And as far as who won the book, that's a dumb question.
Okay.
Just in general, but if I had to pick one, it'd probably be Rhett.
Okay. Matt, who are you most excited for?
Cro-Mag.
Well, yeah, obviously I'm most excited for Cro-Mag. I think that's freaking killer. And honestly, I'm really excited for him to get here.
Yeah.
And I'm like surprising myself how excited I am for like, okay, I'm waiting for that confirmation when they mailed it. And then I'm going to get it. Then I'm going to put him together and he's going to be huge and he's going to be awesome.
Are you going to paint him?
Paint him by 2018.
I'm going to take him.
Put him together.
I'm going to show him. We're being nice today.
Are we?
And I'm going to take him over and I'm going to like show him to Madrak. Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, Magic, what do you think, buddy?
Well, Clint's there crying.
You're going to be a grown man talking to tiny toys.
I'm just happy that...
Yeah, because what we do is so mature in general.
But that's just pure crazy.
I'm just really happy that Madrak is going to be really easy to paint because he'll be like a Bane Knight, probably. just like, you know, ghostly and stuff. Because he'd just be blue with some, like, white highlights. And he's Jedi Ghost Madrak.
As far as easy. Winning the book, I think Menoth did. I don't think there's even much debate about that. Like you said, they got a Colossal that does not replace the already awesome Colossal that they have. It's just like, we're going to give you a second awesome Colossal that does stuff a little bit different to, you know, just to change it up a bit. The Jacks they got are good, and like we said, there's a lot of fire. So, you know... It really seems like the stuff that they got complements each other really well.
Clint, your choices.
Definitely the Croak Raiders and the Siege Crawler. I think the Siege Crawler is cool, but I have a little hard on for dwarves. So,
hard on for dwarves.
And dwarf hard-on. I'm going with Rhett because I always bet on black.
True.
Yeah, you know, Wesley Snipes did too, and he's still paying for all that tax stuff. So,
yeah, but he's paying the taxes on the windfall of money for betting on black.
Yeah, I don't think he has a windfall of money right now.
Well, not anymore.
Him and Nicolas Cage should start doing movies like back-to-back with each other.
That would be awesome.
Wait, wasn't he in the last, what's the movie?
The Expendables?
Yeah.
Was he? So I didn't see Expendables 3.
I didn't see the third one. I want to.
He had those crack eyes going, too.
He's had those for a while.
Bright. They were bad, though. Maybe a little jaundice, too.
Wow. All
right, Jeff.
Well, most I'm excited about is the Hand of Judgment. And then, not to be biased, I think it's really close between Rhett and Menoth. I think there's not hardly a bad thing in the list that anybody got. But I think those two kind of went out with... I mean,
I think the only thing that nobody was like, or everybody was the freaking Shrike. Because we were like, oh, you got a Blade Wing. Okay.
I feel like this is the anti-Body and Soul book. Anybody else feel that way?
It's Carter's
with
fault.
All the fire, and then Zarkova 2 with the sprays, and Victor.
And then Morgul saying you can't advance deploy.
Yeah. Can you even fit that on the board if you're going first?
Oh,
if
God, that'd be horrific.
If you can't advance deploy.
If I was playing my Body and Soul list against, and you said I couldn't AD, I'd just be like, I don't even want
to
try.
That would be the best. You have to play him, win the roll, tell him he's going first, and he's got to cram like it 900 would like, models.
Yeah, it would be like watching somebody play orcs on the table, and they're all infantry.
I'd have to do 72 models in a normal deployment zone, and there's just no way to unpack that army. At that point, there'd just be no way. I'd be like, oh, no.
This needs to happen.
I might have to try this.
Just put the fastest
stuff. Match episode.
Yeah, just put the fastest stuff in front.
The game.
I think, with the Calandra tier, that would suck. Hardcore.
Actually, yeah.
Hardcore.
There's a lot of armies that totally hoses. If you played that against me and I'm playing, like, Pharaoh.
Yeah.
That's like the only benefit I get for playing Pharaoh is I get to advance to the
Maybe I forgot. Was there any confirmation on the new Ephiora tier?
No, I'm trying to get it. It's in a different book. It's not in Reckoning. It's in, and also the Morgul 2 tier was in Forces of Distinction. It's a book where basically it took all the tier lists from No Quarter and put it into one big book. And then just added two. So that's where the Morgul 2 tier comes from. What I heard was that it was like Cinerators.
With advanced move.
Get advanced move and defensive line or something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing that was really stood out. And I didn't want to really...
shame, because Cinerators look so cool.
Go super into it if I didn't know the exact rules for it.
I want to use cool. them. I do. Really I own two units of them.
That's what Resnik 2 is for.
Yeah, because everybody plays Resnik 2.
Let's play them in tier. Dr. Tran did.
Dr. Tran bought a house. Congratulations, Dr. Tran.
Congratulations.
All right.
Now just...
What about yourself?
Oh, it's obviously Thyrone's my one I'm most excited about.
It's not Thyrone.
Thyrone. I have a small suspicion that it's Menoth as far as like who wins the book. Even though Rhett is really, really close. I think Menoth got the better Colossal, and I'm going to go off of that.
I think Rhett got the better caster.
I think Wreck did get the better caster.
But Fred Durst is pretty cool.
But Fred Durst, you know, is like the biscuit of the faith is just fine.
Oh my God, he's called the biscuit of the faith now.
And everyone who's listening needs to wish Clint a happy birthday on the phone.
Happy birthday. It's already passed.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's your birthday week.
It's a happy birthday weekend.
Thank you.
All right, if that's it we have for Good of the Order, anybody else? Thank you for listening to episode 25.
Aurora's mom is in a robot body.